Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yuma Nunvav. We begin towards the bottom of Nun He Amud Beis, actually five lines from the bottom of the Amud. Now first, let's perhaps recap briefly the last portion of yesterday's Daf, where we learned about these Shloish Esrei Sheferes, which were in the Mikdash. These were the 13 shofar-shaped pushkas, these containers, into which one would deposit various monies intended for various purposes. One contained a machzis ha-shekel, one was for donating of eitzim, and two of those 13 were meant for purchase of birds for the mizbeach. One was for choiva, one for the nedava. Tanakama holds, one was intended for the zav, the eledes, who need to bring a pair of birds, one of which was meant for chatas, one for oila. He deposits some money into that shofar. The kohen takes the money, buys a bird, and is makriv the chatas and oila on his behalf. Another shofar was for nedava birds. Deposits some money if you'd like to bring an oila, some birds as an oila for the mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda disagreed. He did away with the shofar shel chayva. He deleted that shofar. He says, you cannot have a shofar which contains funds for a pair, a chatas oila pair. He didn't agree with that. According to him, both shofaros intended for purchasing of birds were meant for nedava, for oilois nedava. There was no chatas element involved there at all. Why? The Gemara initially speculated because of Taroive's concerns. Perhaps, although they would clearly label the shofaros, this is for chayva, this is for nedava, he was concerned perhaps that the kohen wouldn't necessarily notice the labels on each shofar, and he would mix things up. He would take money from the chayva pushka and use it for oilos, in which case he was makrave, he bought a chatas and was makrave as an oila, or vice versa. He might take monies from the oila birds and assume it's for chayva and use it as a chatas. That was the initial suggestion of the Gemara. We're concerned about confusion, about mixing things up, despite the fact that they're clearly tagged and labeled. This is chayva, this is an adava. The Gemara reverted from that. We see clearly that Yehuda subscribes to labeling. We have 13 shofars, each one labeled, each one tagged. This one for shkolim, this one for eitzim. And Yehuda goes along with that, totally goes along with that Mishnah. Apparently labeling is adequate. So why did Yehuda delete the shofar for chayva, the one that contained those potential chatois? Then we'll proceed further. We'll concern perhaps one of the contributors will pass away on that day, and we know that chatos shemesu ba'aleho is useless, lemisa. In which case, any monies, any chatos monies belonging to this person who passed away can no longer be used. It must be tossed into the Yam HaMelech. And then Rabbi Yehuda says, don't create a situation which might lead to concern and pitfall, because we'll have one of the owners pass away, in which case some of that money in there is no good. And now we have money which is usur mixed in with other monies. Says the Gemara, since when do you have that concern? A person has a chazakah that will continue living on. There's no reason to speculate that perhaps somebody will pass away on that day before Kohanim got a chance to actually purchase the birds and bring it as a chatas. The Gemara proceeded further. We're not concerned about unknowns and speculations. We're concerned about definitive information. You might find out that somebody actually passed away on that day. Now we're in trouble, because some of that money in that shofar belongs to a person who was mace. It's chatas shemesu ba'aleho. You have a taroivis which contains some money, which is awesome. That's how we left off yesterday. It says the Gemara five lines from the bottom. Elam shem chatos shemeso beleo vadai. We're concerned that they might find out with certainty that somebody in that bunch passed away today. In which case, his money is awesome. Now you have a shofar full of lots of coins, and you know with certainty that something in there is asr, belongs to the person who passed away. Chatos shemesu ba'aleo is useless, it's asr. Says the Gemara, what's the concern? If you never abo azuzi, just pick out four coins, which corresponds to the value of the potential chatas birds that belong to that person, finish tibamaya, toss them to the sea. Vanachnishtu, and everything else will be mutter. Do this by applying the concept of bereira. Verify, confirm that this money is identified and attributed with that owner who's no longer here. And now that's the mois, which are us, and the rest is mutter. Says the Gemara, you cannot apply bereira according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda less lay bereira. He doesn't subscribe to bereira. You can't verify and confirm something now and apply it retroactively and say, well, we're going to attribute this money to that owner. You can't do that. Manolan, how do we know that Yehuda doesn't hold up Breira? The Gemara will proceed further. Before we proceed, let's just stop for a second. All the Rishonim, Tesis Yishonim, Ritzvo, Tesis, everybody bombs, asks a kasha here. What do you mean? How does Breira apply here? Breira applies to a case where he has a Erev Tchumen, which he still has to verify, Truma Masa, as we want to see in the Gemara. Here we have a Taroivis, which contains Isser. Think about it. Suppose you have a piece of Nevela meat falling into a bunch of kosher meat. Can you pick out one piece and say, well, this is the Nevela, this is the Isser, and everything else is Mutter? You can't do that. You have a Taroivis Isser. Since when could it be Mater? A mixture by just pulling out any random item and say, well, this is the Isser and everything else is Mutter. Right, what right do you have to say that? So the Tosfos in Tumur asks this kasha, and the answer is like this. Sure, when you have a chevetz, which is Usr, and then that chevetz falls into a heter, such as non-kosher meat, which falls into kosher meat, the Tosfos now has formed Isser. You've created a Isser mixture here, because the item was Usr prior to his falling into the rest. So once the Taroivis has been established by Isser, there's no way to undo, to reverse that status, pull out just any random piece and assume that's the Isser and everything else is Mutter. However, over here, says Tosfos, where the monies initially, when they were mixed together, were perfectly Mutter. It was only after they got mixed together, and in which case the Taroivis was established beheter, it's only later that some of that money became usher when the person passed away. Here, says Tosfos, it's different. All you need to do is just remove the isser element from the Taroivis. Let the Taroivis expel some element within it, and now you have a right to attribute that to the isser, because you've extricated the isser element from the collective Taroivis. You see, it wasn't identified beforehand as Isser. It only became Isser within the group, within the mixture. Meaning the mixture contains within it some aspect of Isser. I have a right to just pull out anything and say, well, I decide that this is the Isser within the Taroivis. So you can take four Zuzim out of Taroivis, out of the Shefer, and say, well, I'd like this to be designated as the Isser element within, and the rest is Mutter. The Ritva disagrees. He says, we never find such a thing. What difference does it make whether it was Isser that fell in or it became Asr afterwards? Bottom line is you have a Taroivis which contains Isser and Eter. We never find that you can just remove anything, any random element within that Taroivis and say, well, this is the Isser and everything else is Mutter. Therefore, the Ritva learns, very partially, he says, what happens is like this, when you put the money into the Shefer, initially, this was your mindset. You've agreed, l'chatchila, that you're simply contributing to the collective fund, which can be determined as per the discretion of the kohanim, which allows them afterwards to go ahead and say, well, we'd like this to be attributed to Reuven, this to Shimon, because this was the precondition. This is the way he deposited the money initially. So the Ritva takes a very simple approach, and explains the Gemara in that manner. That allows us to take any four coins and just attribute it to the person that died. Now, how do we understand Tosfos? Tosfos learns that simple breyer can work here, because as Tosfos says, it's different than basar, treifa that falls into basar kasha, in which case the treifa was already there before it fell in, as opposed to here where everything was mutter when the mixture was initially established. It was only afterwards that an element within this mixture became asur, in which case you can go ahead and do this type of procedure. How could you do that? Beis Ephraim in Yeridea seeks to explain Tosfos. He says, meat is different than money. When we speak about a chefetz of Isser, you can't undo that Isser. You can't just pick out any random item and say, well, this is the Isser. Perhaps it's not. Perhaps it is. You have no right to speculate that it is. Because we know with certainty there is a piece of meat there that's also. And each piece of meat stands alone. It's a separate item. Whereas when we're speaking about a shofar that contains money, says the Beis Ephraim, we're speaking not about coins. It's a communal fund. It's value that we're speaking about. Money isn't about the bill or the coin. It's about value. Committing yourself to that value. So he says, when you contribute into that shofar, you've created a communal, a collective fund containing all that value. Now, some of that value became awesome. Okay, remove that value from within the fund. Be it these coins or those coins, it's relevant. You're not seeking to find any specific coin that belongs to any specific contributor. We have a fund which has such and such value as a result of all these contributions which contributed to this public fund. It's like a shutfus in the value. So although there's something in there that's now usur, it's not a coin that's usur. It's that much value that belongs to the owner that was mace. Remove that value from within the fund and you're free to go. That's the pshat now, Gemara according to Tosfos. So he says money is different than meat. Meat is a chayfet, it's not value. You can't just pick up any piece of meat and say, well, this is the isser. Maybe it's not. Maybe the other one is asser. When it comes to money, as long as you removed value, which is equal to the chata saif, which is asser, you're okay. The rest is mutter. Getting back to Tava Gemara. So we had a kasha. Why can't he just apply that solution? Take out four coins, say, this is l'shem yichud, this is for the mace, and throw it to Yama Malach, and everything else is now mutter. The Gemara says, Rebuta does not hold a breiro. You can't apply such a formula. You can't say, well, I'm going to do something now which will be attributed retroactively to that owner. It doesn't work. Says the Gemara, four lines from the bottom, Menolan, how do you know that Rebuta doesn't follow breiro? Is it from the following Mishnah? One purchases wine from the kutim. These were the fellows who underwent some sort of questionable geirus. A big machlekes, whether they're legitimate geirim or not. In any case, they certainly didn't look after the truma maser of their wine. Certainly not the one that they were selling to you. They weren't concerned with creating a michshel. If Ne'ir Lisita Michshel wasn't in their lexicon, at least in a spiritual sense, maybe placing a stumbling block literally, but not when it comes to be machshel in mitzvahs. In any case, you buy the wine from them, and you have to address the Trumas and Maestros. Problem is, it's Erev Shabbos M'chashecha, it's right before Lichbenshin, and you don't have enough time to take care of the Trumas and Maestros, and you like to use this wine for Shabbos. You like to make Kiddush on this wine. Now Rashi points out that although they were kutim, which the Gemara tells us in Chulin, that eventually Chacham would gaze on them and consider them like complete and total goyim. So how do you use their wine? We're speaking kaidim shegazru before the gzera was applied, in which case the wine was mutter, but there was a very real tevel concern. So what do we do? Oymed v'oymer. He gets up and he says, Shnei lugin shani osed lahafrish. Two lug out of these 100 lug that eventually I'm going to separate after Shabbos. I'll take care of it. Harihin trum, I'm now designating those lugin as trum. So this is going to happen by way of the breiro concept. He's going to initiate a procedure which will remain up in the air, a pending transaction, until he gets around to complete that transaction, actually separate the trum and the maser. So right now, all he's doing is announcing, he's declaring, he's being kerei shame. He's saying two lug within this barrel is now being designated as truma. Now which two lug? We'll figure that out later. Later on, we'll complete the process. Asora maserishin, 10% of the remaining will be for maserishin. Tisha masersheni, 9% of the remaining will be masersheni. Umeichel, according to Rashi, this means he's mechalal that masersheni on money. Why not? May as well take care of it right now without resorting to brera when it comes to this aspect of masersheni. Now this allows him to drink v'shoyse miyad divir avimir. According to Rav Meir, brera works fine. He makes kriya shem. He initiates the truma and the maser procedure and leaves it pending for future completion. Says Rashi on top of Meichel, maser sheni ala mois. He transfers the kedusha on the mois. The mashiyesh badu lasak nisak. You know what? Whatever you can do, complete now. Go ahead and do that. Don't rely on brera, which is an incomplete process. V'shoyisem na tarovis, and he drinks along. Okashiyu like kalem, and he finds kalem to do the truma. Rashi said the problem was he didn't have kalem on hand. When he finds utensils, yafresh b'matruma or mamaser, this sam chinon abreira. We rely on a breira procedure. V'leimar, and eventually when he's going to separate, we'll say, you know what? This is what he had in mind. Lichat chila, zehaya truma v'ushas chulin. In which case, what he drank was perfectly chulin, because when he does get around to completing the truma maser procedure, that procedure will be applied lima freya retroactively, in which case all along it was considered chula. This is whose shita? Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon Oishrim, they say that's not a way to go. Alma in Breira. Apparently they don't hold a Breira. You can't initiate a process and have it hang in the air pending future completion. Is that right? Rabbi Yehuda does not hold a Breira? Says, how do you know that's pshat? Mimai. Dilma Shani Hasan, perhaps there it's very different. You know, even Rabbi Yehuda perhaps will hold a breira. But in that case, he's concerned about perhaps his entire procedure failing, not coming to fruition. Because the Tani time, as the Bryce itself explains itself. Amalei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon turned to Rabbi Meir. Yata Maida, don't you agree with us that perhaps things will never become actualized? Why? Shema Yibaka Anoid. Maybe the pouch, the container will break apart and all the wine will just flow out. In which case, he'll never separate that wine. The Truma will never come to fruition. He'll never actualize the procedure. Venim to Shoyse Tvel Mafreya. In which case, even you would agree that if it never comes to the fact, it never comes to completing the process is pretty much worthless. In which case, it turns out that he was drinking tevel all along. Even you, who subscribe to Breira in this case, will agree, at this point, you know, he only began the process by making that designation, that kriya shem, that declaration. But it's pending upon future completion. He has to come back and do the afrasha. But if that never happens, such as in this case where the wine just disappeared on him, turns out that he never did any truma maser, and it was pure tevel. So perhaps Rabbi Yehuda agrees in concept that breira is a proper solution, a proper mahalach, but in this case, it's a practical concern that breira will never happen. Rabbi turns back and he says, well, like they say in English, we'll worry about it when it happens. And Rashi on top says, look, Shibaka, no chashlei, worry then. Kalayma, what he really meant to say is, it's not a real, genuine concern. Lechashinan, leshami yibaka. Why are you concerned about the thing cracking? The efsha, the masar, leleshayma. You could just hand it to somebody to keep a good eye on it. So I'm not concerned about that chashash. In any case, we have no raya. Rabbi Yehuda does not hold a breira. Perhaps he holds a breira. But in this case, he has another concern, and therefore he advises against doing this truma maser procedure. Ella says the Gemara midatani ayay. We're going to derive that according to Rabbi Yehuda there's no breira from ayay, who is a name of a chacham, who presented Rabbi Yehuda shita as follows, in a manner which is indicative of his opposition to breira. Midatani ayay. Rabbi Yehuda aymer, ein adam masne al shnei dvarim keechad. This is regarding Erev Tchumen. So this fellow will set up a double Erev Tchumen system. One to Mizrach, and one to Maariv. He's not sure which direction he's going to go tomorrow. He heard about two speakers coming to town, one from the east, one from the west. He hadn't yet made up his mind who he's going to go listen to. So he wants to cover all possibilities, all bases. He takes a loaf of bread and places it 2,000 amma to the east of the city, just in case he'd like to go in that direction. Places another Erev on the left, on the Maariv of the city, to allow him to walk in that direction, just in case he decides to go there. Now, you can't have two Erevs. What is an Erev? It's the Makom Shvisa. It's your Shabbos residence. You can only have one Shabbos residence per Shabbos, which is activated when? Bein HaShemashes, at the initiation of Shabbos. But this fellow decided he's going to make a double system and leave it up in the air and decide tomorrow which one he wants to activate for his benefit. It says, Aya, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, you can't do that. That's Brera. Ein adam masna al shnei dvarim ke'echad. You can't make a double Erev and have it hang up in the air awaiting tomorrow's decision. In which case, he's going to have to really activate that Erev retroactively from the time Ben Hashemashes. You can't do that because it's an unfinished Erev. Ella, rather, the only thing he can do is like this. He can place a double Erev, one Lemizrach, one Lemaariv, to allow him to go listen to the speech presented by one Chacham. There's only one Chacham arriving. Problem is, he doesn't know from which direction he'll be coming, whether Mizrach or Maariv. In which case, he doesn't know which Erev he really needs. So that he can do. And tomorrow, they'll figure out which one he needs. If the Chacham arrives to the east, he'll know, well, that's the one I needed. And that's the one which will have been activated retroactively by Nashmashis. If the Chacham arrives to the left of the city, to the Maariv of the city, then he'll know that's the Erev that he needed. And that's the one which will have been activated retroactively by Nashmashis. Says the Gemara again, Ella im b'chacham l'mizrach, Erev l'mizrach. He can only be addressing one Chacham here. He'll put an Erev l'mizrach to account for the chance that the Chacham will arrive from that location. Im b'chacham l'mizrach, Erev l'mizrach. L'mariv, if the Chacham arrives to Maariv, Eruv l'Maariv, then the Maariv Eruv will be the one that is activated. Ava l'kan on l'kan loy. But he can make a double Eruv to account for two speakers, which will be arriving from both sides, and leave it pending up in the air, awaiting his decision of tomorrow, to which Chacham he'd like to go, which speech he'd like to listen to. He can't do that. That entails Breira, because that's an unfinished process. Let's stop for a second before the Gemara will ask the obvious kasha, what's the difference between one and the other? We'll get that in a second. But let's just say Rashi first, two lines from the top. One may not place two Erevs, Echad l'Mizrach, Echad l'Maariv. Shema im yavo shnei chachamim, just in case two chachamim arrive, Echad l'Mizrach, Echad l'Maariv. V'loy mar, you can't do that and declare and say like this. I'm going to decide tomorrow which Chacham I'd like to go greet. Why can't you do that? Keep in mind, the Erev has to become activated when? Ben Hashemashes. What's going to happen tomorrow? When he decides, I want to use the Mizrach Erev. Why is Amchinen Abrera? You can't rely on that prayer. Loimar, to say, well, because of my decision today, this will be a retroactive decision and implemented l'mafreya from last night. You can't do that. Loisam chinna breira loimar huvrar sha'erev letzat chacham zeh kana shvisa emesh. To say, well, now that I've decided, finally, I want to use this one. Well, it's this one which became activated last night. You can't do that. The only thing you can do is if it's only one Chacham in the picture. Ella al Chacham Echad. But he's unsure as to which direction he's coming from, then that's okay. Hu masna. In bala mizrach, iruvi shel mizrach ikna. Then he can say, the chacham shows up from mizrach, then I want the eruv to that direction, to become activated. V'im bala marav, he arrived from marav, iruvi shel marav ikna. Then the marav eruv should be kaina. That he can do. V'ilu lakan o lakan, but to do lakan o lakan, to account for all possibilities, al shnei chachamim, l'makam she'eretz elach, like that you can't do the aim brero. That involves brero. That's really undefined and unknown until the last moment, until tomorrow, which is too late. Because that would require brera to be set in motion and become activated retroactively. And that doesn't work. Let's go back to the Gemara. We asked the obvious kasha, what's the difference? If it's one chacham and we're not sure about direction, or if it's two chachamim. In either case, during Bein Hashmashas, it was a big question mark. It was undefined. The Erev was as yet undetermined. It was a pending procedure awaiting tomorrow's verification, which you want to activate retroactively. So in either case, the same formula needs to be applied, which is Brera. Now, when we ask the obvious kasha, Ma'ishno lekano lekandeloi, what's wrong with a chacham coming from each direction? That doesn't work. The ain't brera. L'mizrach umarav nami ain't brera. Likewise, if you have one chacham, and the suffix is he arriving mizrach umarav, there as well. You need brera to work things out for you, and we don't apply brera. So if there's no brera in the first case, why would it work in the second case? Answers the Gemara, it's a big difference. V'amar b'yechnan, kishav kvar b'ch chacham. What happened was that the Chacham already arrived during Bein Hashmashas. You didn't know if he was at Mizrach HaMarav, but the fact is he was there somewhere. You're going to find out tomorrow where he was last night. That's okay. Because at the point of Bein Hashmashas, whichever Erev was on the Chacham's side becomes activated. Because you conditioned it accordingly. You placed one on this side, one on that side. You said, well, look, I only want one to become activated at Bein Hashmashas. Which one? Where the Chacham will be. Now, if the Chacham happened to arrive at Mizrach, notwithstanding the fact that you don't know about it, it's irrelevant. He's there. That Erev becomes activated at the first point of Shabbos. So it's not an undefined Erev awaiting, pending further decision. No. It's a perfectly fine Erev, which was activated at the first point of Shabbos. Let's go over back to Rashi. About 3-4 lines up. Vavinaba, we ask the obvious kash. What's the difference if it's two chachamim or one? The kasanka daitach, the more figured at this point, Bein Hashmashas adayin chacham leba. Because at Bein Hashmashas, nobody has yet arrived. Fubalachsen, he's somewhere in an angle. Viyachalavim shatech shach lemizruch lomar. The chacham could come to both sides. Mizruch omar. Ubalul echad mem. Turns out after Bein Hashmashas, he did arrive to one side. But at Bein Hashmashas, it was undefined, it was unknown. In which case, the Gemara says, well, why would that work? It also needs to involve Brera. Mizruch HaMarav Nami. Kishatola ze iruva bidas ha-chacham loymar. Yikne iruv l'ruach sha-chacham balo. Ein Brera. Shema Bein Hashmashas, hayu bidata sha-chacham l'ruach sha-kenegda. If the chacham hadn't yet arrived, the whole thing is unknown and undefined. Awaiting future developments. We'll have to see what the Chacham had in mind. He can still go in either direction. So even if it's just one Chacham who you're looking after, well, it's still the same concern. We have two heirs, one on each side of the city, and during Bein Hashmashas, none of them has been established and determined as being the very layer. The one responds, no, you're wrong. Bein Hashmashas. He arrived at Bein Hashmashas. The Kana Erev, Lo Yisrael Ruach, which case, the Erev, in that direction, has been activated at that point. Why? Because you yourself stipulated as such. Shekach Hisna Zem Baidyayim. You yourself said, look, I'm just putting two because I'm not sure where he's coming from. But when he arrives, I want that one to work. He arrived. During Bein Hashmashas, he was there. He was at Mizrach. So the Mizrach one works. We disregard the Marav one. It's no longer part of the equation. So here there's no Brera. We don't need to involve Brera here. as opposed to the first case, where the Chacham had not arrived in Hashmashas. And this fellow set up a double Erev, awaiting further development. We'll see tomorrow. Which Chacham I'd like to go listen to. And during Ben Hashmashas, it wasn't yet decided. Rather, tomorrow he's going to want to make a decision which will affect the Erev retroactively. He's going to want to activate that Erev retroactively. He can't do that. Because that's prayer. So here we have a raya that Rav Yehuda does not hold a prayer. Now, before we proceed, prayer is a very interesting topic. And you know, the obvious akasha that the Rishonim ask is, we make a whole discussion regarding Brera, different shittas. Now, all agree, this is something agreed upon by all shittas, that Tanai works. You can do a masa with a condition. You can give a get out Tanai, condition out Tanai. There's no shail of Brera. What's the difference between a Tanai and Brera? Says Rashi, there's a fundamental difference between one and the other. Tanai is a complete masa. You've done a complete masa. You've conditioned it. Conditioned it on something that you yourself perhaps can do. It's within his capability to do it. You do something al tanai that I'm going to give tzedak. It's biyadei. It's within his ability to complete the tanai. There's nothing wrong here. Not with the masa, not with the tanai. It's a complete transaction. It's just conditional. He conditioned the full and complete procedure upon doing or not doing something else, which is within his ability. It's biyadai to do. So that's a tanai, that works. Because it's not a pending transaction. It's a complete masa with a condition attached to it. A condition which is biyadai to do. Whereas Brera, says Rashi, is not biyadai. For instance, he gives a get to an isha, on condition that's going to rain. That's not in his control. It's not biyadai. And that's brera, because it's not a complete process. It's unfinished business. It's not within his capacity to bring this to fruition. So it's hanging in the air. That's brera. That's a very basic defining factor between tanai, which is really a complete process, just hinging, conditioned on something, whereas Brera is considered an incomplete process pending further completion. Now, that's the basic guideline presented by Rashi. But, of course, there are many, many variations. There are lots of stirois and gemorois between different shittas, tanoim, amoraim. And therefore, Tosis says that there are other factors that come to play as well. There are various degrees, different levels of Brera. He says, for instance, if you're Toila b'da'as achirim, then it's not such a severe case of brera. What does that mean? Suppose the masa was done pending your own masa, pending your own thing, meaning you're going to decide. It's going to be your decision what to depend it on. That's problematic, because that's indicative of an incomplete process. You haven't yet gotten your act together. You haven't yet decided how to do it. It's toilo b'das atzma. It's still pending. Something which you are setting forth. That means you haven't yet completed what you've done. Whereas if you're toilo b'das achirim, you toilo on somebody else's decision making process, then basically you've done your part. You've completed your process. It's a complete masa, and perhaps bring it over there would not pose a concern. Because it's not unfinished. It's finished as far as you're concerned. Another point this brings is that you can have a case where it's totally undefined, unstipulated. They didn't really discuss yet. Let's say you have a Yerushim. They didn't set forth the rules. They didn't stipulate conditions. They're just going to split the assets. And now you want to say, well, this was meant for him. Originally, this was meant for him. Mechateso, right? You have to say that. It wasn't as though they were clear-cut. It wasn't a precondition. This is mine, this is yours. So it's different than a case where you actually set forth rules and guidelines with clear-cut definitions. Another point, says Tosis, you can have a case where it's not oimid lizbara, not necessarily is going to be nizbara at all. Who says it's going to be defined and decided? In which case, says that's a worse form of breira, where we can understand that we don't say breira. So in any case, these are factors to work with and to be applied in various cases. And that's why we have so much Tosis on this stuff. Okay, it's just a brief synopsis of Tosis words. Continuing the Gemara, getting back to our discussion. So we just concluded that according to Abi, there's no brer. But he relies on tagging, on labeling the shayfaris, for instance. We're not concerned about mixing up the shayfaris. They're clearly labeled and tagged. If that's the case, let's go back to our Mishnah. Let's go back to home. Yuma. We learned about the Kan Hazah, this gold base, on which the Kohen Gadol would place the container of the dam. Now, according to Tanakama, there were two bases. One for the Dama Par, one for the Dama Sur. Read the holds. There was only one of them. Why? Why only one? And the Gemara assumed this was to avoid any concern of Tarovis, of confusing and mixing things up. Because if you have two, Rav Yehuda will hold, well, he'll place the Par on this one, the Sur on this one. He'll turn around for a second and when he turns back to the dam, he might mistakenly take the wrong one. Therefore, just have one base. He puts the dam par there, comes back with a sir, and makes a clean switch. Replaces one with the other. This will ensure proper procedure that he's taking the right dam. That appears to be the pshat Rabbi Yehuda, that there was only one kan. Says the Gemara. Let's figure this out. Now that we've concluded, we don't hold the breder, and that's why he deleted the shofar which contained the chatas money. Maybe one of the owners died, and there's no way out. You can't take out coins and make breder. So Mimela, just do away with the entire shofar to avoid confusion. You want to bring a chatas, give it directly to the kohen and have it bring it for you. So that's number one. Hog siv isli. But tagging, writing, labeling items, that's okay. That's why we were able to have those 13 shayfaris, each one with another designation. Even if you'd agree to that. If so, Yom Kippurim Nami Na'avitrei. When it comes to Yom Kippur, let's make two of those kans, those two golden perches, those supports for the dam. V'nichtav alayu. Let's label them. This one will have a tag saying par. This one dam asur. What are you worried about? Mishum choshe l'kayin gadol, lavadatei. Yom Kippur is different. Due to the excessive, weakened state of the kayin gadol, fasting, working all day, I'm concerned that he might not have that presence of mind. He might not pay attention to the labeling on the kan, and he might actually take the wrong dam, which will possibly avoid. But it's not a concern of mixing up tags, generally. Generally speaking, tags are reliable, as we see in the 13 shayfars, even according to Buta. Yom Kippur, that's different. He's excessively weak. Chosh the Kohen Gadol, we discussed this many times in Masechta, he's chalosh and doesn't really have the proper focus. We're concerned because of that, he might mix things up. Because if you won't agree with this approach, that it's not ksiva generally that concerns us, labeling, marking works, it's simply due to the chosha, if you don't agree to me, then blow ksiva nami. You know, skip ksiva. Forget about ksiva. Meaning, if you'll say that, the concern is ksiva. A general concern a Buddha has when it comes to labeling things. People don't notice labels, they don't pay attention, they're busy doing other things. And ksiva doesn't really present a proper solution. If that's the case, if that's the right approach, rather than the kind of guttle being weak, then you know what? Let's do away with the ksiva factor for a second. Blake ksiva nami, even without that factor, he can still clearly tell them apart. That's the dama par, and that's the dama sur. High nafish, the container with dama par is full. The par has much more dam than the sur, vai zutar. Whereas the container holding the dama sur contains very little dam compared to the dama par. He can clearly tell them apart. Why would he confuse the two? Elamai. We're concerned about his chush, about his weakness, which will inhibit his focus and ability to notice things. I'm concerned about confusion. Well, maybe you'll say, that really isn't a good indicator, because who says he's going to be makabel the entire supply of the dam apar? In which case, perhaps both containers will have the equal amount of dam. Says, well, that's not so. But Amar Rav Yehuda, Hashecha tzarech shekabel es kol dam shel par. You meant to be makabel the entire dam and nefesh of the par. Shenemar es kol dam hapar yishbech al yisrael mizbeach. So if this one's full, this one's unfull, it should be enough of an indicator to set them apart. Well, maybe the power will get spilled a bit, in which case they both have the equal amount. Well, there's another way to set them apart. Hai chivar, vai sumak. You know, the dam of the par is a much darker, deeper red than the dam of sur, which has a lighter shade of red. Hai chivar, the dam of sur is more whitish, meaning it's a lighter red, vai sumak, as opposed to the dam of par, which is deep dark, deep red. So he has a clear indicator to tell them apart. So why would he be concerned of confusing the things? Ella, you must agree to me. Mishum choshukain godol, lavadati. It's on account of his weakness that we're concerned that he won't have the same focus and he'll confuse things. Hachanami, here as well. Even if you actually label those bases, those cons, mishum choshukain godol, lavadati, on account of his chosh, he might not notice them and mix them up. So that's the conclusion. Rabbi Yehuda holds, only make one base, which will compel him to conduct a clean switch, to rotate one with the other, which will ensure he takes the right type of dam. Whereas the Chacham held, no, make two kans. We're not concerned about mixing things up. And actually, there's a mila, an advantage to having two, because this will ensure that he'll be using his right hand, that we're going to demonstrate in a minute. Let's just finish with the story. There was this fellow, the Shliach Tzibur, who davened in the presence of Rava. He was the Shliach Tzibur that year. And on Yom Kippur, we recite the Avoida, as she says, instead of bringing the Karbonis, Unu Shalma Permis Vaseinu. And he went through the Avoida and he described as follows. Omar, he said, Yotzot, the Kengod left the Kengod Shkodeh Hashem, with the Dam of the Sur, V'nichoy al Kalsheni Shebehechel, and he placed the Dam of the Sur where? On the second kan of the Echel. Dama Par was on the first. Now he placed the Dama Sar on the second one. This is in line with Hushita, the Chachamim. And then he proceeded further. This was the Shliach Tzibur. He says, Notal Dama Par, Vinech Dama Sar. He went ahead and he took the Dama Par and placed down the Dama Sar. Why would he have to do it in that manner? If he had two bases, wouldn't he first put down the Dama Sur and then go over to Dama Par? Instead, he described it as a rotation. He took the Dama Par first and then placed down the Dama Sur, which is indicative of only one Khan being there. Amar Leis, Rava turns to me and says, you're contradicting yourself. Chadik Rabban, the first portion of your statement is in line with the Rabban. In other words, a double Khan there. V'chadik Rav Yehuda, whereas the second portion of your description is consistent with Rav Yehuda. Doesn't make sense. Ema, rather you should say like this. So you approach the empty kan, he placed the damasur down, and then took the damapar and proceeded to the next phase of the hazois in the echel. Let's go over to Rashi, three lines above our position. Hahu shliach tzibur. The nochas kamei d'rava, v'yoymer seder imav kipurim betfilo k'moshu ono oymer, as we do today. And he contradicted himself. Chadik Rabbanon, the Amras Ken Hasheni. First you say there was another Khan, and then you say, well, he had to rotate. Chadik Rabbi Yehuda, the Amras not al tchila v'achachinech. He first had to remove the Dama of the Par and then place the Dama Asar on that Khan. Alma loy hoya Khan Sheni ilanicha. Apparently there was only one Khan there. Look, achutzrach lita tchila, which compelled him to remove the Dam first and then place the Sar on that Khan. So you're inconsistent, therefore change things a bit. Instead of saying he took the par and then put down the sur, he put down the sur and then took the par. So in summary, we have a machlokes between Tanakama, who held that we had two accounts, one for the dama par So when he's done doing the par, he comes out, he puts it down on the kan. And when he's done the damasar, he places the damasar on the second kan. And then proceeds to take the dam apar and continues with the azor shebeichel. Now, what's the advantage of having two kans rather than one? Explain to Mefarshim. This will ensure that he's always using his right hand. Why? When he's done with the par, he places the par down. Now he's walking out with the sur in his right hand. After the azor, he places the sur on the next kan, and then goes over to the par, picks up with his right hand to do the azor. And this is advantageous to having only one kan. Why? Suppose he only has one. He places the par. Then he comes out with the sur. He's stuck because his right hand is occupied. So he has to lift the par with his left hand, place down the sur, and we hope he'll remember to switch it back to his right and do the halacha with the right. There's always a concern that he might leave it in his left and do halacha sadam with his left hand, which is no good. Therefore, rather than having only one, have two. Place the dam apart, come back with the sur, place the sur down, after which he picks up dam apart with his right hand. Rabbi Yehuda held, no, there's only one kan. He puts down the par, comes out with the sur, and rotates, makes a clean switch, picks up the sur, the par, and puts down the sur, and switches to his right. Rabbi Yehuda is concerned about the kan gadol not focusing today, and if you have two, you might end up with the wrong dam. He'll put down the par, come down and put down the sur, turn around and say hello to somebody, turn back to the dam, and might pick up the wrong one. Instead of the par, might pick up the sur. So don't do it in that way. Have only one kan. Place down the par, come out with the sur, and make a clean switch, which will ensure that he's always carrying the right dam. Now, what did the Shliach Tzibur hold? So the Farshim actually tried to explain his approach. He held there was two, a double kan, and still he held that you first take the dam apart and then place down the sur. Right? He comes out with the par, and comes out with the sur, but instead of first putting down the sur and then taking the par, he held, no, first take the par, because he held you want to go jump right into the next mitzvah. First take off the par, which is the tchilas ha-mitzvah, and then put down the sur. That was his sheet. And the Chacham disagreed. They hold no. First you place down the sur, and then pick up the par. First you complete what you're doing. So first par down, then sur down, complete that, and then go over to par, and begin the next phase of the Hazois. Okay, continues the Gemara. So when he was done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he went out to the Heichal, and again, he did par on the Parichas, and Soir on the Parichas. Vizim Amen al Parichas, Kenegad Arim Bachot. Turn Rabban, how do we know that the Hazois and the Heichal are meant to duplicate the Hazois of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? The Pasuk says, V'chein Yaseh Lo Yil Moed. Matam Elohim, what's the point of the Pasuk? It's meant to tell you that, go ahead, and do the same process over again in the Heichal. K'shem Shemazel Lefnai Lefnim. Just as he does Hazois in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, likewise, he does in the Heichal. And it's meant to be exactly the same way. Just as in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he takes the dam apar and does one up in 7 days. The same thing he'll do in the Heichal. He'll take the dam apar first, one up and 7 down, opposite the Parochas, opposite the Arim. And just like in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he did Achas Lamala, Sheva Lamata of the Damasur, Kach Maza Behechel, same thing he'll do in the Hechel. So he does Par Kodesh HaKadoshim, Sur Kodesh HaKadoshim, Par in the Hechel, and Sur in the Hechel. The Pasuk concludes with these words. HaShoychein Itam B'Soich Tomasam. The Oil Moed represents Hashem's Shechina, Hashem resting with us, B'Soich Tomasam. Even when they're in a state of Tumah. When Klai Yisrael don't behave properly, Hashem is still with us. Afilu b'sh'as she'en t'meim, Shechina is still imoim. Amalei yahu mina, the Rabbi Chanina. This Oved Avodah Zarah, they're always taunting the Yidden, they always try to undermine the status of Yisrael as being the Am HaNifchar. They always claim, well, you misbehaved, Hashem abandoned you, Hashem forsook you, and we now took over that position. We're now the Amma Nifcha. So this Min, this guy, the Zara fellow, he turns to Rav Chanina and he says, Hash the Bri. Now Bri is with clarity. With certainty I can say, Tzmei Mata, you're Tamei and Hashem abandoned you. Tichsim, Tumas B'Shalel, a Pasuk in Eicha. The tomb of Klal Yisrael is found in there, the lower part of their begadim. So you're Tamei and you're out of bounds. Amalei, Rav Chanina responds, just the opposite. It doesn't say that Hashem divorced us. What happens when Isha is Tamei? Husband and wife still live in the same house? They're still married? Although there's some form of harchaka there. But their relationship is still intact. Amalei, tachazi maksivu. Take a look at the pasuk, which describes them as follows. Ha-sheichen itam b'seich temasam. Hashem lives with them within their tumah. And the Marsha says, if anything, it's just the opposite. Hashem takes part, so to speak, in our experience as well. He lives the experience, the difficulties that we live. Imoy anoichi b'tzara. Afilu b'zman shein t'mein. Shechina shrei b'nein. Even when Klal Yisrael has tumah, still in all, Hashem is there. Hashem accompanies them. And we're still the chosen nation. Okay, let's make a quick review. We discussed Breira. We do hold Breira, we don't hold Breira. We explained why, according to Yehuda, there was no shofar for the Chatos Eifos. We're concerned about Chatos Shemeser Baaleh, and you can't just pick out some coins because that would involve Breira, which he does not subscribe to. We have the Machlekes regarding the Khan Zov, which was used to support the Dam. According to Tanakama, we had two of them to ensure that the right hands were used. According to Abiyuda, it was only one Khan to ensure that he would use the right type of Dam. And this was because he was weak, and Chulshul Khan Gadol would perhaps cloud his vision, and he would mix up the different types of Dam. Lava that day, he didn't have the focus, he didn't have the concentration on that day. Melo, we want to ensure that everything is done properly, even in light that Tanakam is concerned about the Yad Smol getting involved. The Rebbe claims that this is a more real concern that will mix up the Dam. We had the story with the Shliach Tzibur contradicting himself, and we concluded that Hashem is always with us. Hatzlacha to you.